This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's Hour 3, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Day baseball here as we stand by for the Mike McCarthy press conference. So far an hour and 34 minutes late. When will he talk? Who will talk? That'd be quite a scene if they pan in on the presser and there's Jerry and Steven with a big announcement. That would be very unexpected, but I can't rule it out. You know, it's been a massively disappointing season. I think if you're Mike McCarthy, the writing's on the wall. It's so ripe for a big argument to maybe spin into something that nobody expected. Okay, so that's where I'm at. Mets lead the Dodgers. It's 6-0 in the top of the third inning. Rematch, I believe, of the 1988 NLCS there. It's time now for a sports hodgepodge, though. Here's the Chief.
Okay, we have some great sounds from the sports weekend. Into the booth we go for a handful of clips here. We start in Baltimore, where Tony Romo drops an R-word. You'll hear it quickly, but listen to the redemption he gets at the end of this thing.
Igbinoghene was in on the coverage.
And the Redskins are lucky. Go ahead and run that. You're going to see the edge. And right there, Lamar stands. And he's almost playing with a defensive pass rush, right? Jim's like, all right, I'm going to wait for you to get close to me, and then I'll make you miss. And fortunate for Washington to be able to plaster that one on the outside. Commanders are doing all right here, though, Jim.
Boom. So he drops the R word in there. Doesn't correct himself. He's probably getting like producers going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Yeah. And Jim Nance doesn't say anything. And then he throws in there at the end a Commander's line. Like, hey guys, yeah. I know it's the Commanders. Thought it was pretty professional on his part the way that redemption.
You think that the producer was saying that's why Jim was laying out?
Exactly.
So because Tony was, it was in his ear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think what Tony lacks in like hard work ethic these days, he's making up for in like broadcast polish. That was smooth.
Yeah. I really like the way he pulled that one off.
They don't look like Indians to me.
Here is Mark Sanchez, and he's doing Broadus's Survivor game, Atlanta and Carolina.
Oh.
And it's Carolina football. Here's Andy Dalton, and Mark Sanchez is like the play-by-play guy asks him about, hey, Bryce Young, his situation, learning under Andy Dalton. Listen to Mark Sanchez as Andy Dalton does the funniest thing possible.
Do you coach him up? He's learning from Dalton. Yeah. I mean, what do you see as the beyond this season for Carolina or later this season?
Well, I think he's learning along the way. I think he needs to watch how a true professional...
Oh, intercepted!
Oh.
Clark Phillips will take it inside the five.
Wisely gets down.
And wanted to run the game, the clock out.
he needs to learn from a true professional. He can't even get the words out before play-by-play guy has to step in and say, there's the Andy Dalton interception.
Wow. Talk about a broadcaster jinx.
It's perfect timing.
All-timer right there.
Yeah. You know, he's sitting there. He's learning what not to do from the great red rifle there, Andy Dalton. But
there was a moment last night when Tom Brady did that, too, for Dak.
Oh, no.
Yeah, when it's basically just like that, dog. Dak threw an interception, and my man... Tom Brady was like, oh, God. Oh, he said, oh.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of clips where he's audibly disgusted with something that the Cowboys did yesterday. Like on the snap of the ball, the line is being just blown off the ball completely. You can see a giant hole for Gibbs to run through, and you can hear the disgust coming out audibly of Tom Brady right there.
He's looking away. He's wincing. But I tell you what, Brady got better. Brady, since the first 2 weeks where we got him back-to-back, now there are still brain-dead moments for Brady where you're like, come on, let's go. You got to say something. Mm-hmm. But when he gets into analyst mode, I think he's picking up a couple things.
Okay, now this is like a new invention I'm not super familiar with because I only saw the clip here, but Mark Jones, ESPN play-by-play guy, does the telecasts, and he's in the booth, and they're showing him and his color analyst, and they have this little tank-looking thing that almost looks like the new Galaxy Gas that's going viral with the youngsters that are doing the
Whippets now with the galaxy gas. That's what it looks like. But it's apparently like a little oxygen bottle.
Okay.
And I guess it's a new thing that's on sidelines now. Instead of putting the oxygen mask on as we know it, I guess there's a little bit more of like a galaxy gas looking tank thing. And this is them doing like a little tutorial on it. Mark Jones and the other broadcaster in the booth.
Get yourself a little oxygen.
And you just take a big, put it over your mouth, take a big puff of it, and how do you feel now? Feel a little
better?
I feel
great. Hey, I feel really good.
I bet you do.
This is oxygen. It's oxygen, folks.
It doesn't look like oxygen. It looks like they are doing galaxy gas in the booth right there. And Mark Jones was leaning into it a little bit, but I have not seen this. I don't think the Cowboys are doing this, but perhaps in college football, this is something that's taking place now where you have these little oxygen tanks. Maybe each player has one, like his own water bottle or something.
Wow.
But they were doing the little tutorial there in the booth.
I don't want any players that need that thing, you know, to be honest, unless we're playing at elevation, you know. There is a huge difference in the human's ability to process oxygen, turn that into energy. And the best athletes, the ones with the strongest motors, they take in air plenty, right? And they're like, I'm good to go. And Jason Garrett's words, they can run all day. Those are the players that you want, not these galaxy gas guys.
Yeah, you definitely don't want galaxy gas guys, because then all of a sudden you have a team full of Steve-Os on your roster, and that's not going to get it done. But
wow.
I was curious who was with Mark Jones. Now it's Roddy Jones that's with Mark Jones, because he used to have our guy down from Baylor, the quarterback.
RG3,
yeah.
Oh, that's right. And then obviously RG3 got the boot, so this is the new guy. Yeah, I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, it's Roddy Jones, yeah.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, Anthony Edwards was doing oxygen mask stuff in the tunnels in the fourth quarter of games there.
Got him cooked.
There's the VO2 max.
Couldn't play both ends.
You can improve that. You can improve your VO2 max.
Okay.
So there is something to that. Yes, I'm sure it's partially genetic, I'm sure. Some guys are just naturally are better with that, but you can actually improve that. I'd be looking for those guys. And then finally here's some sound of the Barstool president, Dave Portnoy. They did do their pregame show for the Red River game.
Yeah.
He was out and about trying all the foods. I saw he loved the Palmer's hot chicken bit with the pancake ball.
I thought he hated all the state fair food.
Well, this is the sound of him calling it out. He's calling out like the sort of the ridiculous stuff.
Uh-huh.
He liked the like a run-of-the-mill Fletcher's corn dog. He's here for it.
Yeah.
For the Palmer's hot chicken.
I don't
need
a novelty, though.
But here's him ripping our Texas State Fair food. And I was wondering what Lucius would maybe respond to this with.
I was here yesterday and did all the food, like the crazy food. It was disgusting. Like, I mean, I tried to eat. I was doing individual scores, but, you know, pickled pizza, gross. You had the Cheeto corn dog, gross. Everything that you'd think would be gross. It's like, why'd they put these together? They were, in fact, gross. So it was, like, hard to eat. They have good food, but the crazy shit, it's tough to get down.
You had the deep fried Oreo, too, right?
I had it all. I went through everything. And like I said, it's hard. The bacon glazed with cotton candy, like gross.
Yeah, I had a similar reaction. I think a lot of them are for marketing and novelties and to get people over with a fun name. But that's I think the lead story is this dude's starting to sound like a New York taxi driver, isn't he?
Is he? I mean, I haven't been to New York before, so it's on the bucket list.
You notice that?
Never actually even been in a taxi. I'm an Uber. I'm a rideshare guy. You know, that's why I've been advocating in baseball. Get with the times. It's not the taxi squad anymore. Okay, it's the rideshare squad.
Kind of wonder is like all his broadcasts now bits.
Yeah.
I mean, is it all bits?
Well, it's paying off for him if that's what it is.
No, absolutely it is. But I just kind of wonder, you know, he's at the
He loves
state.
To be the heel.
He hates the state fair food, but he's broadcasting from the state fair.
He knows how to generate content, I'll tell you that much.
That's what he's doing.
You know? Yeah. Lucius, have you tried any crazy stuff yet? I know you've probably been out there a handful of times.
No, I have not tried any crazy stuff. Now, my family have. They do like that pickled pizza situation.
Really?
They do like, I'm not going to eat that stuff. I go to the traditionals, turkey legs, you know, burgers, corn dogs, that type of thing. But there was a, what is it, the deviled egg booth?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh!
A deviled egg booth?
All different types of deviled eggs, as far as you can see, as far as the eyes can see.
Just sitting in the heat.
Just all different types of cool deviled eggs.
That was a nightmare.
It was amazing, bro.
That's a nightmare.
I was like, look what y'all did with the deviled egg. I'll be damned. Let me get three of these, bro.
God, no. That is a nightmare. If you want to see me hurl, that the deviled egg would be the one.
I do think the deviled egg payoff.
They got brisket deviled egg. They got taco deviled egg.
Brisket deviled egg. Mike. Yeah.
I was walking around ripping.
Imagine walking around sweating at the state fair and coming up on the deviled egg extravaganza. As disgusting as anything you can fathom. And then right next door is the pickle pizza area. Yeah, that's vomit-inducing. You're on all fours, and you're the Cowboys fan in the concourse.
As far as I'm concerned, the deviled egg booth would be right next to that ride where it spins around and you stick to the wall. And you stick to the wall.
That would be life-threatening.
That would be my biggest nightmare is I had to eat the deviled egg and then ride the ride where I stick to the wall as it's spinning around and the floor goes down.
Awful. Yes, I'm getting sick just thinking about it.
You got to eat the deviled egg first, by the way. You can't eat it last because you're going to get in the car with everybody. So you got to eat it first. Can I get a deviled egg and a tall beer, please?
That'll be 12 tickets, please.
Yeah. And a rib, some baked beans.
You can't ride home with me after that. I'm sorry.
If
I was driving, you got to find a new way home now.
Yeah,
right?
Talk about Uber.
If you're eating a deviled egg, you can go somewhere else. You can get a ride.
You can really go after yourself.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about this new bit with Taco Bell? I think this is pretty interesting. Would you guys be on board with trying this? Taco Bell app now has a feature where you can tell them how much you want to spend, and then it gives you a random combination of items that they have. Here's an option. Okay, you got $12.
Okay.
Here's, boom. You click it, and if you don't like it, you could just hit the recalibrate button, and they'll spit out a new option at you.
Yes.
It's kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want to live on the edge a little bit. Now, I'm sure Broadus is like, no, I know what I want. I know what I want, and I don't need you telling me about it.
Should I go in there and say, okay, I'm buying lunch one day? Should I say, give me what you can for $100.
Yeah.
Leave out the sour cream and tomatoes.
That's the best part. What you doing?
You think we could do it?
Then just see what pops up.
Do it, man.
Is that Taco Bell?
That's Taco Bell. Yeah, it's Taco Bell.
Do
it right now? Bet you won't. You don't have the balls to do it right now.
Man, some of this content today, I'm starving.
Huh?
You hungry?
Not now.
Not after all that deviled egg conversation.
Yeah, not now. Still making room, brother. You know what I mean?
I'll go in there. I mean, I guess I could order it online. And say, okay, I want $100 worth of Taco Bell. And then see what it
spits out. Give me a good combination.
And see what it spits out.
I'd walk in there and just be like, let me get $100 worth of cheesy gordita crunches.
That's amazing. Yeah, that'd be doing
it
right.
And a few Mexican pizzas, please.
That's max efficiency.
Yeah, let's go. $80 worth of cheesy gorditas. The rest, make it Mexican pizzas. Yeah.
I don't know how well tacos travel, though. You know?
Oh, I'll go pick them up. And I mean, we got to have one pretty close, right?
Yeah, right there. Yeah. That next exit right there to the left.
Is this available in any Taco Bell?
Right behind Target.
Or a special Taco Bell?
It's on the app. Okay. So when using their app, I would presume any Taco Bell will do this for you because the app is just, it's the brain power.
Taco Bell somewhat close.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brian. That sounds amazing.
We'll figure it out.
All righty. Top 10 at 4:20 time. Woolchuck is out today. He had KMC Masterpiece duties. What do you have in store for us, buddy?
I have put together somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 headlines from yesterday's game if I was doing the newspaper article. I would like the Tolos to text in their headline from yesterday's Cowboys disaster, Jerry's birthday. Bring it to me, 877-881-1053. That's next year in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Bag Nation standing by for Mike McCarthy's press conference as we have for the better part of 2 hours, scheduled for 2:30. Look at this, 4:24. What could be going on up there at the Star? Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in DFW. If you're a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Here's Chief with Woolchuck's top 10.
Yes, sir. Thank you. 877-881-1053. We have the top 10 headlines after a Cowboy defeat, a disaster class yesterday. And would love for you to text in what your headline would be on the newspaper today as we are in post-mortem here
from a Cowboys game that also feels like the season just boom, wow, Dunski right before our eyes. It was really, really bad yesterday. We'll get to some of those. I put together some headlines myself. But did you guys see that Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jordan Lewis continue their beef? We knew it was something going into the matchup, as in the offseason, Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver for the Lions, said that Jordan Lewis was the craziest trash talker he had ever been around. Mm-hmm. Jordan Lewis was like, I don't even remember what I said. Sometimes I just like kind of black out when I'm in the game, and I could have said anything, really. And you saw them getting a little bit chippy during the game yesterday, the two of them. And then after the game, I guess Amon-Ra St. Brown went live on his Instagram or something in the locker room celebrating, and then you had Jordan Lewis responding to him, responding to that story that he had on Instagram and just calling him a B word, just you a B. That's what Jordan Lewis did. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown decided to screenshot it, put some emojis on top of it, and send it out to the world so everybody could see that Jordan Lewis was calling him a B word, even though it was Jordan Lewis's team that looked like B words all game.
Hey, at least he doesn't have shaky confidence, you know? Even when losing in the worst home defeat ever, he's still calling the other teams B-words. I kind of like it, bro. Chief.
Yeah, he's definitely never going to stop just trying to compete, scratching and clawing at every turn, even if the game's over and it's been over since the first quarter.
Classic defensive back mindset. Got to forget the play, move on to the next, literally.
He was actually, I know this is kind of bad to say, but he was one of your better defensive players.
Old J. Lou?
Jordan Lewis is, yeah.
He's a dog. He at least has a mentality of wanting to try and tackle people. And he's one of maybe like him and Donovan Wilson and Overshown, really the only three people you can say that about.
I kind of feel like that it really, really, really bothers him to lose. Mm-hmm. I think he takes this stuff personally. I think he does.
Team full of Jordan Lewis's, at least from the competitive spirit standpoint.
Sure.
We'll take it. Yeah. Was there anybody else you want to give? Because these headlines are not going to be very friendly. Okay, they're not going to be nice. Is there anybody else you want to say, hey, tip of the cap, you didn't look like one of the worst players in the sport yesterday other than Jordan Lewis?
KJ Henry might be
the new addition.
Might be something as a backup player for you. Yeah. His ability, I think he had 12 pass rush snaps, and I'll tell you what, they weren't bad. I know the defense completely fell apart and looked bad, but if you wanted to watch, I was kind of interested to see how he was going to play. Was he going to just completely fall off? But I think you might have a backup guy there that you can kind of rely on. Just through the one game of him having to deal with these tackles, you know, with Penei Sewell and guys like that, he was able to kind of hold his own. Mm.
Here we go, up to the Ford Center at the Star. Mike.
The number of couple meetings ran long, so... Sorry, Tad was the entertainment. That's the best we could do. So.
Really bad.
Yeah, we can work on that next time.
Yeah. David?
David Moore, Dallas Morning News. Just what was your message to the team yesterday and then again today when you talked to them coming off of a game like that?
Well, a number of things. Obviously, I addressed the performance. Just the things that, you know, really the basics. Our basics are not in order. I think just like anything, you know, and stating the obvious, starts with the turnover ratio. Fundamentals of football are, you know, part of your everyday existence in this game. And, you know, we cannot function at where we are, you know, as far as the number of giveaways and the lack of takeaways. So, you know, so I just really, you know, kept it about football and, you know, the technique fundamentals and how you improve that and the focus with that. You know, we did the number of moving parts. You know, we need to, regardless of that, we need to be more connected, you know, more uniform. So just kept it about just the things that, you know, we did do, didn't do, and, you know, just make sure the direction was clear and the direction we're going.
And along with that, when you have a break after a performance like that and everyone's not here in the building to kind of focus on what you need to do, is that any concern at all as far as them getting away and not being here to work on what you're talking about? And
well, I mean, you know, years ago you could practice, you know, during this week, but it's, you know, the schedule's the schedule. So, I mean, that's really not even, you know, to go there. But I don't think anybody wouldn't want a chance to go out and work on some of the things that that we didn't do very well. I think that's human nature. That's, you know, that's part of being in the team. It's part of being the competitors. So it definitely makes for a longer week in the area of self-scout and the things that I've already had planned. So, I mean, you always, I know I do personally, I've always kind of pushed things off and try to chart a plan, whether it's, you know, concept variation that you're trying to build off of the things you've done. You know, hopefully you're building off of things you've done very well. So, you know, right now we got to make sure we're really, you know, focused and tight as far as the things, the way people are attacking us week in and week out. I mean, for example, you know, line movement, you know, versus our offensive line, we've been seeing that, you know, steadily since week one, you know, understandably, you know, starting two rookies. So how can we better prepare our players in season, you know, with that work? I mean, we got a ton of work in the training camp format with our defense. So how do we carry that over, you know, next week and help those guys make sure that they're getting more live work? So those are the kind of things that we'll be focused on. I know I'll be focused on, you know, because it's all about solutions right now. It's not about, you know, going backwards, and we evaluate every day. So this is really building clarity and make sure our solutions are how we're going to line up. You know, we're not going to recreate the wheel. We need to get our fundamentals and techniques. You know, we need to get the basics going and playing it. You know, it'll help us play at a higher rate, and with that, you play with more confidence and play faster, and you know, all those things. So,
Clarence, they lost to Dallas, and maybe this is connected to that. Beyond the turnovers and execution issues, a lot of pundits talked about the toughness or lack of toughness and maybe playing soft at times. I don't know. Did you see that on tape?
I think the biggest thing is, I think you got to be real careful when you use the word soft, particularly in this game at this level. They clearly playing faster than we were. There's no doubt about it. They played with more confidence as the game went on. And that's, to me, goes back to, you know, the belief in the details, you know, the trust, not being as connected. You know, we had some moving pieces. I think some guys start guessing, you know, trying to make plays instead of playing the call. There was way too much of that. I think some guys on offense were pressing, trying to make plays. So we had some situations up front. That they, you know, they got after us on both sides of the line, both lines of scrimmage. So that's that. I think it was more of that was a big part of our evaluation.
Was the effort there?
Yeah, I mean, define effort. I mean, yeah, I mean, you look at GPS and numbers, things like that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's more about playing faster than the other guy, and you're being more efficient, and you know, in all 11 coordinated, and they played very well, and we did not.
Mike Todd Archer with ESPN, when you look at the lopsided loss, the way that you had it, do you worry about your team's mental state, or is it just one game?
I think it's, you know, it's part of a, you know, it's part of the path. And I tell you what, the moment that, you know, when you have a chance to step back and you know, really look at everything, you know, I think it's important for all of us, and this is part of the message to the team is, you know, I gave them a number of questions today as far as things to think about, make sure that they are reflecting, make sure they are looking in the mirror, and you know, just make sure you're filling in the blanks because of, you know, why are we on this ebb and flow? You know, why do we perform 7 days ago the way we performed at 1 o'clock in the morning and then come home and perform the way we did? So those are the kind of things we got to focus on. They're an excellent football team. They're playing very well, and I give them the credit. But at the end of the day, if we totally don't believe it's about us, and it'll always be about us, and play to who we are, what we do, how we do it, then we're not going to get to where we want to go. And I believe we will. And I think this is a opportunity that we relish. I know I relish it, and I think they do too. So this is a place that a lot of good can come out of it. And been here before, and I think this is a really good opportunity for our leadership. I think it's an excellent opportunity for our young guys to continue to play. It's an excellent opportunity for these guys to build off of some of the things they have done well. And because this will pay forward. In my experience, it always has. When you play young players this much and you play this many different players this much, I think the long game definitely has a chance to be very bright.
When you say you've been here before, what got you out of it? Was it one play, one game, one week, one practice?
Well, I think it's been a hard truce, you know, playing, you know, maybe we have to take a hard look at the way we played that game, you know. So that's what we've done as a staff. You know, did we try to get into a sprint with a car that was going faster than we were, you know, that we couldn't keep up with, you know, so just all those things. So I think you have to look at all that, reassess. You know, it'll always start with the health of the team when they get back, and we'll have a good plan to go out there in San Francisco and get that win.
John Machado with The Athletic. It seems like it would be tough to get the offense to where you want it to be unless you guys get a good running game. What gives you confidence that you can get the running game to where you want it to be?
Continuity and touches. I think that you know, the move, you know, we had, you know, Tyler Guyton goes down, so you make two moves to, you know, for one player. Sometimes that has a bigger effect than you think it is, think it would. I think that's part of it. You know, so, you know, that's what we have to take a hard look at. We got to see where Tyler is, you know, Guyton, as far as his health, also with TJ, and, you know, give Tyler Smith some clarity. You know, I think the fact that him and Zach playing next to Cooper, you know, every single day throughout the spring, you know, or, you know, spring and more importantly, camp. I felt like our consistency was getting better. I thought the Pittsburgh game was a really good illustration of that, particularly in the second half. You know, when you saw the run game adjustments that were made, particularly in the tight end side zones. So, you know, now you make those moves. So that's what we got to take a hard look at. So just, you know, maybe, you know, just go back to, you know, Tyler Guyton, or, you know, get more reps and, you know, make a decision there. So I think we can definitely tighten that up.
And do you expect Micah Parsons to be back for the San Francisco game?
Don't know. It's a big week for him. Yeah, this is a big week for him. So he's making progress.
Yeah.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. You talk about the ebbs and flows. How much does practice impact some of that at times?
What?
The ebbs and flows of a game in the season, how much are you practicing? Are you up and down on how you practice? And maybe is that impacting game?
Talking about structure of practice,
yeah,
or
how you practice in general?
I'm still not sure here.
Inconsistently, and that's also
I think that, I mean, this team, I mean, just like I told him yesterday, I said, can't believe everything you read, in particular when it comes to numbers. You know, if you look at comparables from the way the team practices on a GPS scale, this team is better conditioned than 22 and 23 as far as workload capacity. That's what the numbers tell you. But the efficiency and the productivity in the areas of fundamentals and technique, we are not where we were this time last year. That's very evident to me as far as how I evaluate the practice every day. So that's where we got to make sure the energy is the intention of practice and the specifics of where the energy is being displaced. And part of that is youth. You know, part of that is inexperience with the guy that's playing next year. You know, we've had a number of veterans show up here, you know, later. So we just got to keep working. I mean, that's the answer, and we're going to keep working.
With Guyton, did something happen in practice on Saturday that prompted you to say he can't go?
No, he's just kind of where he was at all week. You know, he just he's not 100%. So.
Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Kind of to that same point, Dak had said last night that guys can't just show up on Sundays. So what's kind of your message as far as increasing intention throughout the week?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think part of that's frustration with, you know, with the game. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I've done this a long time. This team's practice is hard. I mean, there's a difference between practicing hard and practicing well, you know. So they practice hard. We're not practicing well enough. So I think that's probably part of it. I would think. I haven't talked to him specifically about that comment, but I think that's part of it. I would think that's part of what he was saying.
And we saw Dak kind of flex his finger yesterday. He had it taped up after the game. Is there any concerns there?
Not that I'm aware of, yeah.
Todd, he's The Athletic. Mike, with some of the issues tackling yesterday, especially with some of your top players in your secondary, mm-hmm. How do you go about addressing that with them and then fixing it?
Well, it's actually, frankly, been a focus, you know, at a high focus here the last couple of weeks. Thought it got a little better in Pittsburgh, but, you know, we have team fundamental drills. You know, there's three different variations to that period. And for the first time, all three of them are tackling drills. So we're working it more. You know, the footwork, the fits, those types of things, the ball extraction. So that's part of what I've been talking about. The fundamentals and techniques we're not where we need to be.
For guys in the secondary, though, is that something that's more about how much do you want to get in there and get your nose dirty and make that versus avoiding the confrontation of that?
Well, I think starts with being where you're supposed to be, having your eyes where they're supposed to be, and then using proper footwork. The approach, long stride, short stride, all those things coming in there. Yeah, definitely. So that's why, particularly if you're in shells, you work the drills a certain way. When we don't live tackle on Thursdays, but that's why we drill it.
Scott. The Skyler Dixon with DAP. How do you tune out the noise about your job security? Is it hard? Is it easy?
I think it's just part of the business, and that's when people ask me about really anything with the team. Part of working here, it's part of the business.
And did you catch what Dak had to say about you last night? Pretty strong words of support. And how do you react when your quarterback says that?
Well, I think it shows, how he feels, and I think it speaks to our relationship. But, yeah, I mean, support is a nice thing. I wish you'd do more of it. So.
Aaron.
Aaron Kessler's Lone Star Live. There was PFF and some other grading sites that Zach Martin didn't.
I'm sorry?
A few PFF and a few other grading sites said Zach Martin didn't have his best game on Sunday. How do you evaluate where he's at this year?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have my best game. None of us played well. I'm trying to think if there was a winning grade on our analytics. So, we didn't perform very well.
Joe.
Joe Hoyt, All City Dallas. We've talked a lot about turnovers, only five so far you guys have four so far. Is there a schematic remedy to that? Is it just guys making plays? How do you kind of look at trying to increase turnovers?
No, I think it comes down to, once again, I mean, you're talking about line assignment and those types of things, and I know we do have a scheme change, but at the end of the day, the pursuit and finish, I'm not trying to be a broken record here, but that's what I'm talking about. Those are the fundamentals, the techniques that we, the intent of practice. We need to stay on it. We've been very good taking care of it and taking it away. And we're definitely at a place that I don't recall being, with the numbers. So we got to keep working at it.
Garrett
Podell, CBS Sports. Mike, you talked about wanting to build off of things. Rico Dowdle at his best game in Pittsburgh, and he had just one carry in the first quarter when it was still a 7-3 game, finished with five. Sort of what goes into that? And then
the seven on third down is a big part of that, I think starting off with the first play, just some of the penetration we had here, clearly not a reflection of him. I actually thought he did play well with his limited touches, but he definitely needs to touch the ball more, without a doubt.
Ed.
Ed Werder, WFAA. You were in a similar predicament offensively going into the bye last year, and then came out of that a completely different team, won six of your next seven games. Did anything that you did during that time, the success you had, apply now in terms of creating buy-in or ideas you could implement?
Well, I would say the biggest thing I felt that when we turned that corner last year was the complimentary four. If you go look at those games, you look at the Pittsburgh game, we know how to play complimentary football, and we haven't, we really haven't done it. We started out there in Cleveland in the first half, but not in the second half. I thought for a lot of the game in New York we had it, but our complimentary formula production is not there. So that was the biggest emphasis coming out of the bye last year, and definitely will be again this year.
Todd.
Mike Dak has three red zone turnovers in the last two games. I think he only had two red zone interceptions all of last year. How do you explain the mistakes? He's a guy who knows better in some situations, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think red zone and third down has been really way too up and down. So it's the details. It always is. So it starts with the the protection, the footwork, the route detail. So those are things we need to definitely be better at. We need to spend more time on red zone. That's one of the things that, frankly, I wrote down a couple weeks ago, because it's we're not where we need to be, and it manifested yesterday.
And then I don't know if you're asked after the game about the fourth down decision to go for it. Was that just a jumpstart the team kind of thing, or you knew possessions were going to be an important part of the game at that point?
Yeah, I felt like, you know, the momentum of the game was moving, you know, faster away from us than obviously I would like, you know, and I thought that was a momentum opportunity for us.
Mark. Hey, Bob, Zach Barton, and you talked last night about the offensive line issues, you know, can be affected. Did you anticipate the struggles you guys have in the offensive line? Obviously, I mean, at the beginning, I know you knew coming in you have some young guys, but it's kind of prevented you guys from getting anything going on offense.
I'm not sure what you're asking me. Just anticipate because of two rookies? Or?
No, that they would take this long to really get mature, get things going for you guys to really sustain some things offensively. I don't know how you guys evaluated that going in. But you talked about Zach struggling as well.
Going into the season or into the game?
Into the season.
I think just, you know, if I recall, we talked about this at training camp. Is, you know, that was part of the reason why, you know, we wanted to make that decision on who the five were going to be. You know, and Tyler Guyton, you know, missed a bunch of time there with his illness, because that's one of your biggest decisions as a head coach, frankly, in personnel, because those five guys, you know, playing together, particularly practicing together every day, it's huge. I mean, you don't get those reps back. So, but yeah, so it probably happened a little later. You know, Cooper, you know, that's a decision with, you know, Cooper that we made at that time over Brock. So, but yeah, I like I told Tyler, you know, last week, I said, you got to practice every day. You're not going to get to where you want to be. And because it's all about those five linemen, you know, getting out there every single day and getting those reps. So when that doesn't happen, it can be bumpy. And that's what we're going through right now.
He talked about the running game not getting it going. How much is the problems up front impacting the running game and also impacting Dak's ability to be?
It all fits together. I mean, our run blocking unit and our pass protection unit did not win yesterday. So it's all tied together.
What does this week look like for you personally?
I'll be here working, you know. It's a good chance to take kids to school, maybe catch some volleyball. But, yeah, I got a little more work today than I thought I was going to have. So I'll be here.
Todd asked about the red zone turnovers, but just over the last couple of weeks, Dak in general, the turnovers are piling up a little bit. How do you think he's playing? Is it a little more maybe what's happening around him, or is he just not playing?
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, and every quarterback knows that you got to take care of the football. You touch it every snap. It's your number one priority for responsibility. So, you know, I mean, no one gets that or takes that responsibility as serious as Dak. So, yeah, I mean, these conversations are daily, and we'll just keep emphasizing, keep working. So.
All righty. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
There it is, the Mike McCarthy press conference here on 105.3 The Fan. A lot of stuff in there. We'll come back and react to the talking points and more here coming up next on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.